Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. December 22nd, 2022, Christmas Special, Part 2.
All right, first things first. Tomorrow is Frances' birthday. Tomorrow, she is 16 years old. I mean, you get birthday on the 23rd, Christmas on the 25th, and then you come to this church and it's Christmas every day. So, 365 presents going to be coming here, you know. All right. Let's see where... Okay, there we go. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, for the indescribable gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his salvation work on the cross for all of us. And because of that, sir, we can have Christmas every single day. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, I surprised some of you with a 2022. By the way, this is 12-22-22. There's five twos in there. So here's the tip. Pick the two horse in the second race. And we started out, what is Christmas? There are a lot of people that really don't know what Christmas is anymore in America. That's sad. What is Christmas? For many people, it's family getting together, friends, football, food. For others, it's Santa Claus, Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I don't know how Minions got into it, but everywhere I drive around, there are Minions everywhere. For others, it's a Christmas tree, Christmas lights, mistletoe. I think mistletoe. If you can't kiss a girl without having mistletoe, just forget it. I have never had mistletoe. I've never tried Debbie mistletoe. No. I just come up and Merry Christmas. Eggnog. I don't even like eggnog. Singing carols. And the last one we have was giving gifts. And that last one, giving gifts, that does have a very important relationship to Christmas. In fact, it helps describe what Christmas really is. It goes all the way back to that very first Christmas. Magi from the east came to worship the Christ child, the King of the Jews. And they brought him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And we saw that in Matthew 2, 1 to 12. These Magi were the first Gentiles who worshiped the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And he was a baby, a child, a unique child in a manger. They brought gifts to the king. Now we live in the church age, 2022. And many of you also come to worship the king. And you also bring gifts. You bring the gifts of positive volition. You bring the gifts of genuine humility. And then you respond to the grace and truth of God's Word. And what is the Word of God? The mind of Christ. The thinking of the King. You come to worship the King. The thinking of the King. The Mind of Christ Bible Doctrine. The greatest gift of all is the gift that God the Father gave to the world. Christmas is about God's indescribable gift, the gift of His Son. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. God the Father gave the gift of His Son, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Lord Jesus Christ. At Christmas, we celebrate God's gift of love to the world. Jesus. Jesus. A name. That was the angel Gabriel says, you will give Him the name Jesus, for He will deliver His people from their sins. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John 3:16, for God loved the world so much that He gave a gift, His uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall never perish but have everlasting life. Eternal life is a gift. A gift from God to anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that salvation is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. God delivered the gift of love, His Son, in Bethlehem on that very first Christmas. Christmas was the greatest miracle that the world will ever know. There is no miracle as great as the miracle of Christmas. It's the celebration of the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. The eternal Son of God, from His own free will, left heaven and left glory, and in genuine humility, he carried out the incarnation plan of the Father. He took on true humanity so that he could go to a cross and solve the world problem of sin. Without that very first Christmas, without his coming, all mankind is helpless and hopeless and lost. Without that first Christmas, the world has no hope. But because of that first Christmas and the incarnation of the eternal Son of God and his salvation work on the cross, the whole world has a hope. In fact, Jesus Christ is the only hope that the world has. And we started studying one of the great prophetic passages on that very first Christmas, Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. And it starts out, because a child has been born for us. That emphasizes the true humanity of the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ. A son has been given for us. That emphasizes the undiminished deity of the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ. So in that first line, because a child has been born for us and a son has been given for us, we have the hypostatic union of the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ. Undiminished deity, true humanity, united in one person forever. That first line, because a child has been born for us, a son has been given for us, looks at the first advent of the miracle Messiah. It looks at that first Christmas. And then it says, and the government will be on his shoulders. And now we see the miracle Messiah at his second advent. The second advent of the miracle Messiah. He is coming back. And when he comes back, he will establish his kingdom on earth, and the miracle Messiah will rule the entire planet earth. And it will be with absolute righteousness, perfect justice, perfect government, and only the God-man, Jesus Christ, the miracle Messiah, can do that. And he will do that at the second advent. And the government over the entire world will be on his shoulders. And then, four characteristics of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ. And we studied the first one last night. And he will be called Wonder Counselor. Or you could translate it just as easily and as just as accurately, Miracle Counselor. He will be called Miracle Counselor, Wonder Counselor, Mighty, Omnipotent God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The thought is that the child, this unique child, is worthy to bear these names, and that they are accurate descriptions and designations of his being and character and essence. In the Bible, the name indicates the character, the essence or the nature of a person. And therefore, when it is stated that he shall be called, we are to understand that the following names are descriptions of the celebrityship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the miracle Messiah. And we studied that first characteristic. He is the miracle counselor, the wonder counselor. That brings us tonight to the second characteristic of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ. And you oftentimes see it translated simply, Mighty God. Boy, they just, that's weak. That's very weak. And when you see it in the Hebrew, it's very powerful. In the Hebrew, we have El Givor. Two words, El Givor. Aleph, E-L. El is the first word, and that is the word that should be correctly translated, omnipotent God. El means omnipotent God. And it dogmatically declares the deity of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The Messiah is the omnipotent God. Jesus Christ is the omnipotent God. And then, when you add to this noun, El, the adjective, Givor. Looks like that, G-I-B-B-O-R, Givor. Now, it becomes even more powerful declaration of the deity of Christ. Givor means strong, mighty. So the best translation of El Givor is the mighty, omnipotent God. The second characteristic of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ, the miracle Messiah, is that He is the mighty, omnipotent God. So, one, Jesus Christ is the mighty, omnipotent God. And when you combine this second characteristic of the celebrityship of Christ, the mighty, omnipotent God, with the next characteristic, the third characteristic of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ, Everlasting Father, the Lord Jesus Christ has always existed, eternally existed as the mighty, omnipotent God. So too, as a member of the Trinity, He is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Three, in eternity past, the Son of God had the same essence as the Father and the Spirit. In eternity past, the Son of God had the same essence as the Father and the Spirit. In time, on that very first Christmas, He still had the same functions of deity, but He also became true humanity. And therefore, He is the unique person of the universe. He is the miracle Messiah. He is undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. Micah 5 verse 2 says, Jesus Christ is eternal God, even at the incarnation, the first Christmas. And then John 1. Turn over. Well, you're there. You should be in John 1. John chapter 1. John 1, 1 to 3. John 1, 1 to 3. In the beginning, which was not a beginning, that is, in eternity past, there always existed the Logos, the Word. Jesus Christ is the Logos. Jesus Christ is the living Word. So in the beginning, which was not a beginning, in eternity past, there always existed the Logos, the Word, Jesus Christ. And the Logos, the Word, always existed face to face with God, God the Father. And the Logos, Jesus Christ, always was the eternally existing God. This very one, the Logos, Jesus Christ, always existed in eternity past, face to face with God, God the Father. All things were created by the agency of Him, Jesus Christ. And apart from Him, the Logos, Jesus Christ, not even one thing was created that has been created. One of the most powerful passages on the omnipotence of the Lord Jesus Christ as the creator of the universe. John 8:58, before Abraham was born, I had always existed, eternally existed. Romans 9:5, Christ, who is God over all. Titus 2:13, we have the phrase, the great God and our Savior. And this is a great example of the Granville-Sharp rule of grammar, where you have two nouns in the same cases connected by chi. The first noun has the definite article, second noun does not. When you have that, the two nouns are the same person. So great God and our Savior are the exact same person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:8 through 10, God the Father says, your throne, O God. God the Father calls Jesus Christ God. 1 John 5, verse 20. This one, Jesus Christ, is the true God and eternal life. 4. The pre-incarnate work of Jesus Christ declares that He is God. He is the creator of the universe. And to be the creator of the universe, you have to be undiminished deity, the mighty, omnipotent God. We saw that in John 1:3. All things were created by the agency of Him, and apart from Him, the Logos, Jesus Christ, not even one thing was created that has been created. Now turn over to Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16. For by the agency of Him, Jesus Christ, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. Now, turn over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1:10, and Thou, Lord Jesus Christ, in the beginning didst lay the foundation of the earth. The creator of the earth is Jesus Christ, and the heavens are the work of Your hands. Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. Hebrews 1:10. He had to be God to pre-exist all other creatures in creation. 5. The divine decree proves the deity of Jesus Christ. The divine decree proves the deity of Jesus Christ. Psalm 2, 7 to 9. Psalm 110, verse 1. Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord, God the Father, says to my Lord. Who is my Lord? David's Lord. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Six, the Tetragrammaton is one of the Hebrew words and title of Jesus Christ. YHWH, the Tetragrammaton. The Tetragrammaton is the holiest name for God. The holiest name for God in the Old Testament scriptures, and again, dogmatically proves the deity of Jesus Christ. And I think in the King James you'll have it translated Jehovah. And there's been several times that Jehovah's Witnesses have come to my house. I'm sure they've come to yours too. And I open the door. I know who they are as soon as I can see the bicycles. Yeah, well, that's the Mormons with the bicycles. But these are usually women. And I said, are you Jehovah's Witnesses? And they go, yes. I said, I believe in Jehovah. You do? I do believe in Jehovah. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. It's all throughout the Old Testament scriptures. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. And I hope you have believed in Jesus Christ. If you haven't believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're not saved and you're going to be in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. But you need to believe in Jehovah, and Jesus Christ is Jehovah. I'll show you the passage. No. They go out and this is too much information. Isaiah, in our passage, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, we get down to the end of verse 7, Jesus Christ. And the celebrityship of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is called Jehovah Tsevaoth. That is the Lord of the armies. We also have this in Isaiah 40. Turn over to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 3. A voice of one calling. This is Matthew 3, 1 through 3. In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. This is the Tetragrammaton. This is Jehovah, the Lord. In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, the holiest name for God. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. The second time, the word is Elohim. So here, the Lord Jesus Christ in his deity is described by the Tetragrammaton, the Lord, and by Elohim, God. So, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, and make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Turn over to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, verse 5, the days are coming, declares the Lord, and here the Tetragrammaton is used for God the Father, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch. The righteous branch is the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is that very first Christmas, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God, who in his true humanity is the Son of David. A king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. This is the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, the establishment of his kingdom on earth and ruling not only Israel, but the entire world with righteousness and justice. In his days, Judah will be delivered and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which this righteous branch will be called. The Lord, our righteousness. Jehovah Tzidkenu. So here we have the Tetragrammaton. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. Turn over to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 12. Let's start at verse 1. Zechariah 12, verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. The word Lord there is the Tetragrammaton. This is the word of the Lord concerning Israel. The Lord, again we have the Tetragrammaton, who, now we find out who is this Lord. Is it the Father? Is it the Son? Or is it the Holy Spirit? Well, now we find out. The Lord who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundation of the earth, and who forms the spirit of man within him, declares. In other words, whoever is the creator of the universe, that's who the Lord is here. The creator of the universe is the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ. So the Lord here, Jehovah, the creator of the universe, is Jesus Christ. Now look down at verse 4. On that day I will strike every horse with panic and its rider with madness, declares the Lord. I will keep a watchful eye over the house of Judah. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a plan that God has for Israel. And in the tribulation, the Jews will not be destroyed and wiped out. They are protected under the promises that God has given to them. The four unconditional covenants. So on that day I will strike every horse with panic and its rider with madness, declares the Lord. This is Jesus Christ, the same one that we started out with in verse 1. Declares the Lord, I will keep a watchful eye over the house of Judah, but I will blind all the horses of the nations. This is Jesus Christ protecting Israel in the tribulation. The leaders of Judah will say in their hearts, the people of Jerusalem are strong because the Lord Almighty, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the title of Jesus Christ, which literally means the Lord of the armies, is their God. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the armies. On that day I will make the leaders of Judah like a firepot in a woodpile, like a flaming torch among sheaves. They will consume right and left all the surrounding peoples, but Jerusalem will remain intact in her place. Now, go down to verse 10. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me. Who is me? The Lord. Verse 1, the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ. They will look on me, the one they have pierced. Jesus Christ's salvation work on the cross, his crucifixion. And they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. All the way through his, here, the one doing the communicating, this is Jesus Christ, Jehovah, the Lord. So the Tetragrammaton is one of the Hebrew words and titles of Jesus Christ, and it is the holiest name for God, and dogmatically proves the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. 7. The essence of God is ascribed to Jesus Christ. God is one in essence, three in personality. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all have the very same essence or attributes. And the Lord Jesus Christ is sovereignty, Revelation 19:16. And I'm not going to look up all these passages, but I'll give them to you, and you can look them up. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Holy One, and holiness describes the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. Jesus Christ is the Holy One, Luke 1:35, John 6:69, Hebrews 7:26. Jesus Christ is infinite virtue love. Well, we've been studying that in 1 John 3:16, also the Gospel of John, John 13:1 and 34. Jesus Christ is eternal life, and that's it coming up in the next characteristic of the celebrityship of Christ, Isaiah 9:6. He is eternal Father, everlasting Father, or eternal Father. Also Micah 5:2 and John 1:1, John 8:58, Colossians 1:16 and 17, Ephesians 1:4, all present Jesus Christ as eternal life. He is omniscient. Matthew 9:4, John 2:25, Colossians 2:3. He is omnipresent, Colossians 1:27. He is omnipotent, Revelation 1:8. Isaiah 9:6, He is the mighty, omnipotent God, El Gavor. He is immutability, Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is veracity, John 14:6, He is absolute truth. Jesus Christ, the second characteristic of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ, also teaches it not only his eternity, but also is the greatest, he's the greatest soldier of all time. He's not only God, he's not only the omnipotent God, but he is also the greatest soldier of all time, and this is the adjective Gavor. The adjective Gavor means strong and mighty. He is the mighty, omnipotent God. Gavor is a military word. It's frequently used in a military context in the Old Testament scriptures. When it's used of man, it is frequently combined with the noun kayil, which means strength or valor. So when you combine Gavor with kayil, Gavor kayil, then it has a very special meaning, mighty men of valor, military heroes. And this is used in the scriptures to describe the great heroes in David's army. 1 Samuel 16:18, 1 Chronicles 12:21 and 28, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 1. Gavor Kayil, mighty men of valor, military heroes. In our passage, Isaiah 9:6, El Gavor describes the second characteristic of the celebrityship of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He is the mighty, omnipotent God. And what does that mean? One, a part of the celebrityship of the miracle Messiah is that he is the greatest soldier of all time. A part of the celebrityship of the Messiah is that he is the greatest soldier of all time. Turn over to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Psalm So givor, strong, mighty. It's a military word. So El Givor, El, he is the omnipotent God. And then givor is emphasizing the fact that he is the greatest soldier of all time. Psalm 24, 8 through 10. Who is this King of glory? Verse 8. Who is this King of glory? The Lord. And again, it's the Tetragrammaton. The Lord, strong and mighty. The word mighty is givor. So here is the King, Jesus Christ. He is again described as mighty, givor. The Lord, then he adds, the Lord mighty in battle. Again, givor repeated. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, the King of glory? He is Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord. It's translated Lord Almighty. It should be translated the Lord of the armies. Who is this King of glory? Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies. He is the King of glory, Selah. So in verse 8, 24 verse 8, we see that the Messiah is the King of glory. In verse 8, we see that the Messiah is Jehovah. In verse 8, givor describes the Messiah twice. He is the Lord strong and mighty. He is the Lord mighty in battle, mighty in war. And the word there is milkama, which means battle or war. So too, the Lord Jesus Christ holds the record for killing the enemy in war. He killed 185,000 Assyrians in one night. Isaiah 37 verse 6. And we've seen that passage many times. So the Lord Jesus Christ holds the record. He is El Givor. He holds the record for killing the enemy in war. 3, the Messiah Jesus Christ will break that record at the second advent when he comes back the second time. Revelation 19. So turn over to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19. Revelation 19, 11 to 21, we have the second advent of Jesus Christ, the miracle Messiah coming back at the second advent. Revelation 19, verse 11. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. And with justice, he judges and makes war. This is the Lord Jesus Christ as El Givor. His eyes are like blazing fire. And on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. And his name is the Word of God. Well, who is the author of Revelation? John. And how does he describe the Lord Jesus Christ in John 1, 1 to 3? The Word, Halagos. And his name is Halagos, the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ, El Gavor, coming back at the second advent. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and generals and mighty men, of horses and the riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great. And then I saw the beast, the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse, Jesus Christ, and his army. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. And the two of them, the Antichrist and the false prophet, were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse. And all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. So he is the mighty, omnipotent God. Mighty in battle. This is point four. A part of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ, the miracle Messiah, is that he is the mighty, omnipotent God. He is mighty in battle. He is the Lord of the armies. The third characteristic of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ has two concepts. The eternity of the miracle Messiah and a father. The eternity of the miracle Messiah and that of a father. What we have here is Avi Av. The noun Av looks like this. Ayin, A-D, Av. And Av means perpetuity, continual existence. Av emphasizes the eternity of Jesus Christ, the miracle Messiah. Jesus Christ is the eternal God. There never has been a time when Jesus Christ did not exist, and there never will be a time in the future when he will not exist. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who eternally exists and who existed in eternity past and who is to come, the Almighty, the All-Powerful One. So one, Jesus Christ has no beginning and no ending. He has no beginning and no ending in his deity. Two, he is absolute existence. He is the self-existing one. In the Old Testament, Exodus 3:14, he is the great I am. When you say I am, he is the eternally existing one. The self-existing one. The great I am. Exodus 3:14. Three, Jesus Christ is the true God, the living God, the eternal King. He is the true God, the living God, the eternal King. Turn over to Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 10:10, Jesus Christ is the true God, the living God, the eternal King. The King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. Jeremiah 10:10, but the Lord, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, is the true God. He is the living God. He is the eternal King. And when he is angry, the earth trembles. The nations cannot endure his wrath. 4. Jesus Christ does not possess life. He is life. He is the living and true God. Jesus Christ does not possess life. He is life. He is the living and true God. 5. The eternal life of God is given as a gift to everyone who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works. The miracle Messiah, the only Savior. The eternal life of God is given as a gift to everyone who simply believes in Jesus Christ, the miracle Messiah and only Savior. John 6, verses 40 and 46. 1 John 5, 11 and 12. John 3, 36. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. All teach this. 6. The unbeliever does not have the eternal life of God. John 3:36. The unbeliever does not have the eternal life of God. John 3:36. 7. We have eternal life at the moment of salvation. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Eight, the third characteristic of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ, that he is the everlasting Father, first of all emphasizes the eternity of Jesus Christ. The third characteristic of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ, that he is the everlasting Father, first of all emphasizes the eternity of Jesus Christ. Turn over to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were born, the creation of the mountains, or before you brought forth the earth and the world, and who is the creator of the universe? Jesus Christ. From everlasting eternity past to everlasting eternity future, you are God. So he's addressing the creator of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, from everlasting eternity past, you are God. From everlasting to everlasting eternity future, you are God. Turn over to Psalm 102. Psalm 102. Psalm 102, verse 25. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. So this is describing the Creator. This is the miracle Messiah, the Creator, the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, is the Creator of the universe. So in the beginning, you, Jesus Christ, laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. So in this third characteristic of the celebrityship of the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ, we not only have the eternity of the Lord Jesus Christ emphasized with of, but we also have a very important characteristic of the miracle Messiah. He is an eternal Father of grace and compassion to His people. We also have a very important characteristic of the miracle Messiah. He is an eternal Father of grace and compassion to His people. The word Father is of. Aleph A B. Of. And of is the noun literally translated father. When of is used of man, it refers to the human father of a child. However, when of is used of God, it has a uniquely different meaning and emphasis. So one, in relationship to God, of, the word for father, emphasizes the grace policy of God to mankind. In relationship to God, of emphasizes the grace policy of God to mankind. Two, in relationship to the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ, it emphasizes the grace function and compassion of the King, our Redeemer. In relationship to the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ, it emphasizes the grace function and compassion of the King, our Redeemer. Three, as a father has compassion on his children, so the miracle Messiah has compassion on those who fear Him. As a father has compassion on his children, so the miracle Messiah has compassion on those who fear Him. Psalm 103, verse 13, which says, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord, Jesus Christ, has compassion on those who fear Him. Four, as a shepherd graciously provides for, protects, and cares for his sheep, so also the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ, provides for, protects, and cares for His sheep with grace and compassion. As a shepherd graciously provides for, protects, and cares for his sheep, so also the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ, provides for, protects, and cares for his sheep with grace and compassion. Turn over to Psalm 23. And you should be all clued in on this since we taught Psalm 23. And after we taught Psalm 23, I was going to meet with my cardiologist. And I took him Psalm 23. Well, he looked at Psalm 23 and saw six verses. He thought this would be one lesson. Well, I gave him the CD, and he, the next time I went in, he goes, "There are, what is there, 50 classes on that?" I go, "Yeah. You need to understand it. Inside and out. This is a great psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Logistical grace, the grace and power of God. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and grace will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, as a shepherd graciously provides for, protects, and cares for his sheep, so also the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ, provides for, protects, and cares for his sheep with grace and compassion. Psalm 23:5. Therefore, the term of emphasizes the grace orientation and grace function and grace policy of our Lord Jesus Christ in his dealing with mankind. Therefore, the term of emphasizes the grace orientation and grace function and grace policy of our Lord Jesus Christ in his dealing with mankind. 6. Jesus Christ, the miracle Messiah, is an eternal Father. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ eternally functions by grace and compassion toward his people. Jesus Christ, the miracle Messiah, is an eternal Father. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ eternally functions by grace and compassion toward his people. 7. Now and forever, he guards his people and supplies their needs in grace, like a father to his children and like a shepherd to his sheep. Now and forever, he guards his people and supplies their needs in grace, like a father to his children and like a shepherd to his sheep. And that brings us to the fourth characteristic of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He is the Prince of Peace. And we're not going to get that tonight. Come back. We will get it in our next class. This will be continue the Christmas special on Tuesday, next Tuesday. All right, now hold your horses here. Will somebody go get the little people out of the side? What? Al did? Okay. We're going to bring the kids in because there's. I know we don't make a lot of a tradition, but there's a tradition I've had here. Well, almost since I've been here. Actually, the very first I wrote this, and the very first time I ever gave it, I was in Dallas, Texas. I was in a church pastored by Herman Maddox. And he had me come up and say a word to the congregation. They had no idea. And I wrote this on the plane going to Dallas, Texas. And I got up and I gave them a visit from Nick. And when I gave this to the congregation there, they were very responsive and laughing and enjoying it all. And Herman got back up there and said, "You got to be careful who you turn your pulpit over to." That's all right. So this is the visit from Nick. Are you ready? Good to see you there, Bucko. How you doing? All right. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the church not a creature was stirring. There wasn't even a chirp. The notebooks were opened with attentive care in hopes that Bible doctrine soon would be there. The congregation was settled all snug in their seats, expecting divine viewpoint from their pastor teacher who exegetes. With the kids in the nursery and I in my pulpit, we opened our sword for an hour of worship. When out in the lot there arose such a clatter, I sent out a deacon to see what was the matter. Away to the doors he flew like a rabbit. Must have been Al. To see who was making that horrible racket. The light in the parking lot shone on the cars, reflections of light from casinos afar. When what to his wondering eye should he see but a little old fat man invading our privacy? This character was so sly and so quick. The deacon yelled back, "It's that troublemaker, Nick." He drove back and forth doing a wheelie or two, and then he whistled and shouted and said, "Hey, you! I have just the thing that your church needs. A lot of programs and some human good deeds. Cut out some classes and add a choir, and your attendance will grow higher and higher. As dice at the crap tables fly and roll, so this self-righteous fat man began to stroll. Up to the church doors he swaggered in pride, with a bag full of human good presents beside. And then all of a sudden, I heard in the hall an arrogant jackass with no manners at all. I was using the overhead and looking around when into the auditorium came Nick with a bound. He was dressed all in red, from his head to his bust, seeking attention and satisfying his approbation lust. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, obviously a troublesome meddler just opening his pack. Oh, he would never commit an overt sin, you see, but he was an example of religious hypocrisy. On the outside, all beautiful and cheery and merry. On the inside, like dead men's bones ready to bury. Mental attitude sins filled his soul with a stench, jealousy, vindictiveness, and all sorts of self-righteousness. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a boo, spewing forth gossip as only a busybody would know. He was chubby and plump, lacking self-discipline. His god was his belly, going on an emotional binge. He said, "I know when you are sleeping, I know when you're awake, I know when you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake." Talk about invasion of privacy. "Stop," I said. I knew now that I definitely had something to dread. As Nick laid his finger on the side of his nose, two deacons seized him and encouraged him to go. He jumped in his rod and revved up his engine, tore down the road, and much to his chagrin, he heard me exclaim as he drove down the track, "Bah, humbug to you, and don't ever come back." Merry Christmas. You're dismissed.